is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
With my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. The White House telling us that there is a meeting planned by President Biden with the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, Xi Jinping, in San Francisco in these next days. The White House characterizes this meeting as intense diplomacy. We welcome Jonathan Ward, the author of The Decisive Decade, American Grand Strategy for Triumph Over China. Jonathan, you have the Mandarin. Intense diplomacy translated into Chinese. Any significance to this? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I'm sure there is a translation. Lihai Waijiao, maybe. Gordon, you could probably do it better. But I think the Biden administration is trying to, in the context of international turmoil in multiple major regions in a state of conflict, they continue to turn to China for the sake of stabilization. I mean, that's been part of the diplomacy towards China in the context of Ukraine. I mean, trying to make sure that they don't lean too hard into that war, even though Beijing is obviously backing Putin's invasion. And now in the Middle East, I mean, hoping that China will play a stabilizing role. One continues to hear about that sort of thing, when instead, the reality here, of course, is that there is this anti-American, anti-Western axis with China at the absolute center and as the financier and economic power behind both Russia and the Islamic Republic of Iran. So, you know, I think these Cold War symmetry has its benefits here, but I think this all does lack a genuine strategy towards beating Beijing's real grand strategy. I mean, we're not there yet in the U.S., and we can see already, because they've told us what they think the conditions of this summit are going to be. I mean, they've told us, one of the members of the Chinese embassy in Washington said that there are four bottom lines that need to be respected in order to have a summit. And one is Taiwan, the other is democracy and human rights, and the other is China's path to development and its political and economic system, and finally, China's right to development. So they really don't want us to go forward on containment, on economic containment. The Biden administration has done a bit of that with their technology strategy, their export controls, and a couple of executive orders. But the bottom line is China's interest here is that they don't want us to actually successfully contain them. And in fact, that is exactly what we need to do.
Gordon, Wang Yi, the foreign minister by default, a man known as rude, to say it diplomatically, a master wolf warrior, characterizes this upcoming meeting as not smooth. What's he telling us, Gordon? This is a man who insults the U.S. routinely.
I think what he's saying, John, is that there is really no agreement between the United States and China on fundamental issues, and they should not expect any sort of accommodation from China on this. And I think the Chinese are understanding that Biden, despite the fact that he does want to engage China, is probably constrained by American politics from giving the Chinese more of what they want. Basically, they're signaling that don't expect any sort of grand bargain coming out of this meeting in San Francisco.
You have a question for Jonathan, Gordon.
Jonathan, although, as you point out, the Biden administration has imposed some costs on China, those have really been hesitant. We're more trying to manage the relationship rather than trying to obtain what we think is best for the United States and the free world. And it seems to me that this is going to be a fruitless meeting until we start imposing meaningful costs on China. Your sense of what's going to happen?
Well, that's right. I think it's symmetry for symmetry's sake. It's about keeping channels open. I mean, again, we still can't get a military channel open with the PRC that's reliable. And that actually probably is important for unintentional crisis management. But the bottom line is Beijing is executing on a grand strategy. They know exactly what they're doing. And we are not yet playing hardball with the Chinese Communist Party. I think the Biden administration's approach to China is very light. We're not causing real economic effects there. We're certainly not having a deterrent capacity. We're certainly not undermining or defeating their grand strategy. And you have to start going after the important economic sectors way beyond tech and semiconductors and all of that. I mean, you really have to go after the entire industrial base. You have to go after the current account surplus, you know, the trade deficit that they run with the entire world. I mean, their surplus allows them to invest in expansionist programs and to fund their fundamental grand strategy. And again, they cannot go much further without access to American and allied markets, technology, and capital. And we're still providing that access, which allows them to disrupt world affairs in the way that they have. I mean, they've envisioned all of this for a very long time, this sort of moment in which they come into contact with the United States in terms of strategic conflict, strategic competition. We're in that now, and we're seeing that in Ukraine. I think we're seeing that in the Middle East. And the reticence, the absolute reticence to hold Beijing accountable for all of its transgressions and its overall intent, is I think continuing to produce this these dangers in the world. I mean, we're not yet taking real strategic action, and I don't think we have really started to act on a grand strategy that will work. But we need one, and that's why I wrote The Decisive Decade, so that we have something to go upon. And time is running out.
Jonathan, I read a quote from the President of the United States. "I know we make foreign policy out to be this great, great skill that somehow is sort of like a secret code. All foreign policy is a logical extension of personal relationships. It's the way human nature functions." End quote. That's the President of the United States speaking following the June 2021 meeting with Vladimir Putin in Geneva. Can we expect the same happy talk after this meeting? You will recall that 7 months later, Vladimir Putin invaded Europe.
No, I think that's incredibly inaccurate when it comes to an adversary straight. An adversary country that is executing a real grand strategy that we can understand. And, in terms of personal relations, I mean, this is not Gorbachev. Xi Jinping is not Gorbachev. I mean, he looks at Gorbachev as the ultimate failure of global authoritarianism. And in that, he and Putin are similar. I mean, we're dealing with something more like Stalin than a reformer. I mean, this is not a reformer. This is somebody who seeks to win. They have a strategy for victory. And we do not, and no handshake and no amount of discussion is going to change that. We have to get into action, and we have to get into actually, breaking down their capabilities and turning this tide against them. And that's all economic power and military deterrence. And we have to get busy on both.
Gordon, do you have a personal relationship with somebody who's about to turn the world into a global contest and invade Taiwan and bash away Manila? Is that a personal relationship, Gordon?
Of course not. And that shows that Biden has this misguided view, not only of China, but of the world in general. His views go back to maybe the first years after the Cold War or something. I don't know. But clearly he does not understand what's happening. We're now involved in a global war. It's not just the war in Ukraine. It's not just the war in the Middle East. It's not just the insurgencies across North Africa. This is a global war. They're fighting it. We're not. This, for us, is a war of survival. Until we understand that, we are at great risk.
You have a quick question for Jonathan. We have less than a minute.
Jonathan, what happens after the summit between Xi Jinping and Biden?
30 seconds, Jonathan.
China continues to do exactly what it's doing today, to build up its military, to ship fentanyl into the United States, and to take over strategic and fundamental industries. And they don't look back.
The streets of San Francisco are where fentanyl winds up in the sad fates of all those people we call homeless. The Decisive Decade, American Grand Strategy for Triumph Over China, Jonathan Ward, the author, Gordon Chang, I'm John Batchelor.